This is worship for the Feast of Ascension for May 9th. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, we pray. Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind, and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the Feast of Ascension is from the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And he said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards all who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel readings from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Then Jesus said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. today is, as we began, today is the festival of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And it takes place on a Thursday because this is now 40 days after Easter. Why 40 days? Well, that's not too difficult to understand, I suppose. 40 is a kind of an important number in the Bible. It corresponds to how many years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, and there's some other things that correspond to 40 days. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, and I believe the Judeans, the Jews, were in exile to Babylon for 40 years too. But in another way, it takes place sort of in this in-between time. We're between two major events, Easter and Pentecost. Easter, as we just said, happened 40 days ago. Pentecost lays 10 days in our future. And so Ascension is kind of an in-between sort of holiday. What does it really mean? What is it about? Well, as it comes between Easter and Pentecost, it is kind of about both of those things. It's about Easter, but it's also about what's coming, about what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles 10 days from now. It's also, of course, a farewell. It's a kind of goodbye. Jesus is ascending, and although in a sense he is still with the disciples and still with us, in another sense he also leaves on ascension. As the reading from Acts tells us, he departed from them in the clouds, carried into heaven, as the gospel says. You would think that then, since this is goodbye, you would think that the disciples would be sad. But then we hear something strange in the second to last verse in the gospel reading. After the disciples see Jesus go, they return to Jerusalem with great joy. They rejoice at this, at his departure, at his ascension. And how can that be? Goodbyes are supposed to be sad times, at least if you like the person who's leaving. I suppose if you don't like the person very much, then you do rejoice when they say goodbye. But that's not, of course, the case with Jesus and his disciples. They love Jesus. He is their friend. And yet somehow they also rejoice when he leaves. How can this be? Some of us who have kids who are getting older, perhaps coming closer to high school graduation, coming closer to the day when they leave home, perhaps you can sort of understand perhaps why there's a little bit of joy here. There is sadness, of course, to see your kids go, but there's also joy. Why is this? Because on the one hand, yes, they're leaving, and you are ending a certain period of life with them, but in another sense, there is something else coming. They are going off, hopefully, to great things. They are continuing to grow. They will, you hope, have a great life ahead of them, or at least they have the chance. And so while they leave home, and that's sad, it's also a good goodbye. Goodbyes can be happy if there is something else coming. Goodbyes can be happy if the next thing that comes afterwards is great. And so this is why the disciples rejoice. But what is coming? Strangely enough, we have two accounts of the ascension in our readings this week, and they both come from the same author. We get a reading from Acts, which is written by Luke, which tells how Jesus ascended. And in that version, we get a lot more of the details. We have them going up on a hill, and the disciples watching Jesus go off in the clouds, and then the angels come and say, "Why are you standing here staring up into heaven. He will come back the way he came, and then they go back to Jerusalem. But in Luke, it's somewhat different, the account. Strangely, the same author talking about the same event, and yet he tells it much differently. We're not going to talk about the Acts account very much this year. We'll talk about that maybe next year or sometime in the future. But today I thought we would focus on the account from Luke chapter 24. It plays a different purpose, I think, in the gospel account. And so this is why it is told differently than the way it's told in Acts. Here it's not a beginning like it is in Acts, but it's a kind of end. It's the end of the gospel story. It's an ending that has to take place to make way for what is coming. That makes it a good ending. As I said, we have this strange note about how the disciples rejoice. And what do they rejoice over? They rejoice over what now is coming. What is coming? That's sort of the question. Well, the reading here from Luke 24, is kind of interesting in another way, too. We don't hear that this took place 40 days after Easter, but if you didn't have Acts and were just reading this, you might think that the ascension happened right away. Our reading begins in verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, and these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, but Jesus says these things immediately as he appeared to them on that first Easter evening, after he comes and proves to them that he is still alive. And then having shown them that he's risen from the dead, then he tells them these things. And then we're told that they immediately went out to Bethany, and that's where he ascends. And so if you didn't have Acts and had just had Luke, you would think that all this happens on Easter, that the ascension happens on Easter. There's no waiting around for 40 days. I don't think Luke means to mislead us, but I think he is making a point that it's not Easter, or rather, it's not ascension per se that is the ending, but it was Easter. That's where something ended to make way for the new thing. What was it that ended? Well, Jesus tells us. He explains to the disciples about the scriptures, that in Moses, and by that he means the books written by Moses, that is the first five books, the Torah, and the prophets, that means everything that was written by the other writers of the Old Testament, in addition to Moses, so Isaiah, Jeremiah, but also the history books, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and so on and so forth, and the Psalms, which have their own special sort of category. In all these places, what Jesus has just accomplished was foretold. And what was it? That he would come and suffer and die and then rise again on the third day. We're told that Jesus opened the minds of the disciples so that they could understand this. And it could be that he gave them a special helping of the Holy Spirit or something like this, but it might just mean that he simply told them that this is what the Old Testament was about. That the things that they saw happen to Jesus in his ministry, the things they heard him say, and especially in his death and resurrection, that these things did not happen by chance, that it wasn't just some big accident that Jesus was killed, that was not some afterthought, but that this was God's plan all along, and that if you looked closely at the Old Testament, you could have seen all this foretold. That what Jesus did was entirely as the Father had planned for him to do, and that this plan had been given, that it had been spoken and written about by the prophets in the Old Testament. And so there's no mystery here, that this thing that they had just witnessed was the fulfillment of God's word and God's plan. This is the thing that has now been completed. With Easter, it is finished. Everything that Jesus was to do, well, except for one more thing, but that will come much later, or somewhat later. But anyway, everything that the Father had planned for Jesus to do that had been spoken about in the Old Testament, these things were now complete. But the interesting thing today is that Jesus doesn't stop there, but he continues in verse 47. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Easter is perhaps the completion of what Jesus did, but that's not the end of the story. What Jesus has done is finished, but now the story of what he did must be carried to the world. Now people must hear about it so that they can believe it, and through belief in Jesus, come to eternal life. Repentance and forgiveness of sins, these things will be preached to the world so that the world can have those things. And who do you suppose is going to do that? Well, Jesus tells the disciples that they will do this. They will be his witnesses to these things. They will be witnesses of the life and death and resurrection of Christ, but also they themselves in their lives, by what they do, they also will be living witnesses. By their very life, they will proclaim God's word, because God's word has foretold everything that they would do. During his ministry, they were spectators. They were watching what Jesus did. They were characters in the story, I suppose, but they weren't really participants. They were just there to record these things. But now they will become actors. Now they will become part of the story themselves. Now they will be the ones who will carry Jesus to the world. And of course, they would start in Jerusalem, but eventually they would come to Rome. And even after the book of Acts ends, they will continue to bring that word to other places, to Germany, to England, to France, to the places where our ancestors came from. And that word then too would be brought to America. It would come to Kentucky. It would come to Louisville and Taylorsville. It would come to wherever you are when you are listening to this. And that word of repentance of sins and that word of forgiveness of sins is now being told to you. And now you too carry that word to the world by what you say, but also by what you live, how you live. Not merely in your actions, but the fact that you are a person whom God has sent his son to die for, and that you are now a person who will rise because of Christ and how he rose before you. There are two parts to the story. There is what Jesus did, and there is what is happening in your life. Two parts of one story. How is it that the disciples rejoice when they are leaving the ascension? How is it they rejoice when they say goodbye to Jesus? They rejoice because now the second part of the story begins. Now, that story that is their life and our life begins. The gospel reading, and in fact the whole gospel of Luke, ends on kind of a strange note, another strange note. The last verse tells us that the disciples were continually in the temple blessing God. And that seems like an odd way to end. Well, maybe not an odd way, but sort of a Strange note, in a way. Well, odd, I think. Odd to me, anyway. Why wouldn't it end in such a way where it says something more about Jesus, or it says they went off and had many adventures? But it seems sort of boring, in a way, or plain, that they just went to church and they stayed there. And it doesn't even seem true. We go again to the book of Acts, which the same author wrote, and they don't stay in the temple. They spend some time there, but they're very quickly busy with that work that they've been given to do. And they go off to different places, and they spread that word. And they don't really stay in Jerusalem all that long. 10 days until Pentecost. But then they begin to leave. And although they worship somewhat in the temple for a little while, that eventually comes to an end. They're driven out of the temple, kicked out of the synagogues, and then, of course, the temple itself is destroyed. So what does Luke mean when he says that they were continually in the temple? He doesn't mean that they stayed there for a little while, but that they remained there continually. We might even say that they remained there forever. Well, I think Luke is giving us a clue, again, about what the ascension is, and another reason why they did not feel sorrow at Jesus saying goodbye. Because, again, we have to remember where the temple is. It's not just a building that was torn down in Jerusalem, but the temple, of course, is the place where God meets his people. The temple is the place where God wants to be worshiped. The temple is the place where Jesus is. He ascends to the right hand of God, but that just means he goes to where God is. And where is God now? But of course, he's anywhere where his word is preached. He's anywhere where people are baptized and where we partake of the bread and the wine, which is Christ's flesh and blood. The disciples and all his people remain in the temple continually. They remain where Jesus is. And now Jesus is in the world. Jesus is where you are. Because that word about him, this has been preached to you. As I said before, Ascension is kind of a strange day. It's between Easter and Pentecost. It's between the end of the first half of the story, and it's before the beginning of the second half. But that's its purpose. It serves as the transition. Here is what links part one to part two. We're now living out the story of part two. But we remember that all that we have, this is all based in what Jesus did. To remain in the temple means to remain in the Word. To focus, again, not on ourselves or what we're doing, but to focus on what Jesus did. Because that's how it goes. This is the life we live. Christ has ascended to the right hand of God. He has ascended to where his word is preached. He has ascended to where we want to be. He has ascended to where our life has now become his life. And as he died and rose, now we too, even in death, look forward to our resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Father of glory, since your Son has gone up with a shout and the sound of a trumpet, open our lips to sing praises to our King and to live confidently in his victory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of glory, your Son has commanded us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Bless the proclamation of your church, that many may believe, be baptized, and be saved. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.